fishermen with a bad attitude. All right. So if you're going to choose someone to follow Jesus, he would not be in my book. Okay. How could God use him to make a difference for his kingdom, right? He's a really seedy character. But I'd be wrong. Because God doesn't choose those which are fit. He fits those that he chooses. Okay. Comes from, you want to follow? It's up here, is it? No? That's okay. You can look at Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Oh, he's up there. Oh, look, he's trying to change all the time. Let's read this anyway. Excellent. I might get embarrassed and go red. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got in the one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, who later on becomes Peter. He asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything." In other words, that is the most stupidest thing to ask. You know absolutely nothing about fishing. "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats to so full that they began to sink. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. I always ask this question because I never know. So anyone here today who's never heard that story before? Oh, good. You've never heard it before? Well, it's a great story. And by the end of today, you're going to go, "I know that story." Do you know where it's from? Yeah, Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. So later on, if you're interested, look up your Bible at home. You'll get the story there too. Thank you for your honesty. Really appreciate it. All right. So let's have a look. Bit of background. Peter is still known as Simon. Okay. Jesus later on is the one who changes his name to Peter because Peter means the rock. Good. Excellent. You rock. Okay. What was the name of Simon's brother? Yes, you guys are great. Okay. Some of you might be kept in at the end of the service, but you'd be able to go early. All right. Simon's brother Andrew saw Jesus' baptism because he was a follower of John the Baptist. Okay? And so he saw it and he would have went back and told Peter, well, Simon at the time, "Oh, Simon, the promised Savior of the world, the Messiah, he got baptized, heavens opened up, and this Holy Spirit came down like a dove, and this voice said, 'You're my beloved son, I'm proud of you, you know, I'm pleased with you.'" And I think that would have impacted Simon, but it didn't change Simon. Still kept on being hooked on fishing. So, but Jesus had been building a relationship with Simon for some time. Earlier on in Luke's gospel, Simon's mother-in-law is sick with a fever and Jesus comes to visit and heals Simon's mother-in-law. So he's already witnessed Jesus doing a supernatural. Sometimes we miss that out. It's not just hit and miss, but he's actually working towards this. Now, this passage shows that Simon, as a fisherman, in the day was not one of the people that you'd like to hang out with. They stunk. Not good people. Imagine if you stayed up all night fishing and slept during the day. Probably wouldn't be a very good social person either, would you? Look at his life, it's not too good. You wouldn't choose to be a fisherman unless he really had to. So I've called this message today, Going Deeper with Jesus. And I'm hoping each of us will look at our lives and think, how deep are we going with Jesus? Because it's not just hit and miss. Some people think, I said a prayer once to follow Jesus and that's it. But being a Christian is like being at the starting line of a huge race. And you hear the starting gun. And some people think, that's it, I'm over. I'm part of the race now. I don't have to worry about running. But we keep going. So my first point is this. Going deeper with Jesus means we listen to what he says. We listen, each of us, through the Bible. A lot of us don't have time to listen to God because we're too busy trying to get God to listen to us. And we get really annoyed when we think God is not listening. Rather than us think we should be the ones listening. We need to listen today what God's going to say to us. We see this guy, let me give you a bit of background. Imagine a situation where you are a fisherman who you have to earn your living and your respect through what you catch. That is what makes you who you are. You are a fisherman. Now, a fisherman without fish is really, really bad. And here's Simon, he gives up his whole night. I don't know what you did last night. I don't know if you actually went to bed or if you thought something was so important, you stayed up the whole night because you thought that was really, really important. Simon spent the whole night awake, going all over the lake looking for fish. And he's not a first timer. He's an experienced fisherman. He knows where to get the fish. That's why he knows they're going to come out at night. He knows during the day, the sunlight is going to make the fish go right down to the depths, away from the sunlight. He knows that. So he knows his only chance is to catch the fish at night. And no matter what he does, all his skills, all his talent, and all his experience, everything he is as a fisherman, completely fails. Do you think he'd be happy? Do you think he'd be joyful in the morning? Oh, praise God! I got nothing all night, and I'm exhausted! Oh, can life get any better? In the morning, he's cleaning his nets because that's the only thing he caught was rubbish. Now in the Bible, it shows that Jesus knows what we're thinking. So, excuse me, you can imagine what Jesus is listening to what Peter is thinking. And it wouldn't be good. He knows what we think. One time, I was a young Christian. And I'm so old, you won't believe this. I lived before they had ATMs, you know? I lived before they had mobile phones, right? I lived in a cave with a dinosaur. But I didn't like it, so I killed it. Yes, it was me. I wiped out the dinosaurs. But I lived in a place called Sydney. I heard of Sydney, right? Lives in Sydney, yep, good. And I went on this camp where people went from all over the place. And some people lived in a place called Gosford. Ever heard of Gosford? Yeah, you heard of Gosford, right? Anyway, cut a long story short. I had my car, and on the weekend, the banks wouldn't be open, and there's no ATMs, right? So on the Friday, I used all my money to fill up the petrol tank, which is really bad because you should put petrol in there. No, I actually used the money to get petrol and put the petrol in. I didn't actually just put the money in the petrol tank because that doesn't make sense. So take note. But I get to Gosford and we go to an RSL club and I'm just a teenager and basically they all decide to get... ever had pub squash? No? You should try it sometime. It's really nice. Probably not good for you. But... Just don't tell your parents. But anyway, pub squash is a nice soft drink, okay? And the guys I'd met from this camp said, okay, let's get a few jugs of pub squash. Let's put $2 in each, right? And it sounded like a reasonable task. Do you know how much money I had left in my wallet? Nothing. I used every bit of money I had in my wallet to fill up my petrol tank because I was scared I was going to run out of petrol before I went back to Sydney. And I didn't think any further ahead than that, which is bad. I was about 18 at the time. I should have known better. And so there's this place where no one knows me. These guys only met me at a camp. And there's all these people walking around. And I just prayed in my head, Father, I need $2, which is stupid. What's God going to do? Drop one down from heaven? It would kill me. Right? But I was still at the stage thinking that God can hear my thoughts. God can move mountains. So I said, Father, I need $2. And just as I prayed that in my head, a person which I did not know stopped at the table, put $2 in front of me and said, that's from above. And then he moved on. And I said nothing. I was in shock. But I know... The Bible teaches that God can read our minds, and I know he can read our minds, and I can provide for our needs. So anyway, so what happens? We find out here that Simon's boat is there, and Jesus chooses Simon's boat, and he says to him, I want to get in your boat, come with me, push the boat out a little bit. Now Simon could have said, no way, Jose. And Jesus says, no, it's Jesus. Right? But he listens to him, but not just listens, he does it. Now, this is a guy who's really tired, and he thinks, I don't want to hear about this preaching, and now I'm stuck with a preacher in the boat. Other people can go home, but he can't. And what happens next? Let me give an illustration about hearing. Does anyone know what the word Simon means? Means listener. Okay? Simon means listener. Well, as you said rightfully, Peter means the rock. But Simon means listener. So he was beginning to listen. It's a bit like this. There was an old man. Okay? His name was Matt Taylor. Okay? I don't know if everyone's called Matt Taylor here, but this old man was called Matt Taylor. And he was worried about his wife's hearing. And his wife was called Danielle. Right? I don't know if this ties in anyone here or not. I'm just telling you a story. But he was worried. And one time he saw the end of the house. Daniel was actually had a back to him and he wanted to test her hearing. So he said, can you hear me? There was no reply. He was really worried about her hearing. So he went further closer to her. And then he goes again, can you hear me? No reply again. And he thought, her hearing is worse than I thought. This is really bad to have bad hearing. I said, it's really bad to have bad hearing. Anyway, but moving on, then he stands right behind her and he says, can you hear me? And she says, for the third time, yes. We need to be... We need to understand quite often we think God's not listening to us. He's got a problem with his hearing. But quite often it's the other way around. We're not listening to God. We have the hearing problem. So Simon listens to him. Now, my second point is going deep with Jesus means we do what he says. And as I said, he got in the boat and he went out. But the crazy thing is, even after Jesus finished speaking, Peter's probably thinking, oh, give me a fight. I'll be up all night. I'm going to at least go to bed now. All right, it's probably about midday. All right, I just want to go home. Okay, what? Push the boat out further so we can catch fish. The middle of the day. You want to go out fishing in the... Why don't I just not come out here at night? Why don't I just sleep at night and come out in the middle of the day? That'll save me a lot of time. Any moron would know you don't catch fish in the middle of the day. And by the way, I was here last night. I noticed that fish here. And I'm tired and I want to go home. Now, Peter's thinking that. But he's a bit more diplomatic. I've fished all night. In other words, you're wasting our time. You might be a decent preacher, but you're not a fisherman. You don't understand about fish. I'm the expert here, not you. And I'm tired. I want to go to bed. But he says, but because you ask? Never has anyone else asked, I'd throw him out of the boat. But I'm beginning to think that you healed my mother-in-law. And you've just taught me something in your preaching. I don't know what he preached on, but Jesus was preaching. Peter was listening. But because you say, I'll go out. So he actually acts upon it. If you thought about it, if we changed it a bit, which you're not supposed to change the Bible, but at that point, Jesus wasn't going to force a miracle. And I do this at school sometimes. I ask the kids if I can use the F word on them, and they say yes. And I say faith. Faith is really, really important. God doesn't just go, I'll just keep doing things for you. He says, keep walking my way. And once you trust me, then I'll do things for you. And Peter's showing his trust in by pushing the boat out, and he puts a net down. If he hadn't done that, this would be the end of the sermon. And then he went home to bed. All of us, let's go home to bed. That is our message today. But puts the nets down, and there's so many fish caught that then when he gets the second boat, the both boats begin to sink. I never picked that up until today. I thought one boat began to sink, got the other boat, put the fish on there, everything was fine. But in the passage, both boats are there, they put the fish out, and there's so many fish, both boats begin to sink. This is not normal. This is supernatural, and every one of those fishermen knew it wasn't lucky. It was supernatural. They knew that. And Peter or Simon had already heard from his brother Andrew that Jesus was special, was God's Messiah. And now he's looking at this thinking, that's proof for me. He really is God's promised king. He's God's promised savior. And if he's that important, why would he want to waste time with me? Going deeper with Jesus means we admit that we are sinful. When you really start to understand more about who Jesus is and who we are in comparison to Jesus, it brings us to our knees. To say, look, Lord, why would you love me? Jesus doesn't love us because we earn his love. He doesn't love us because we're lovable. He loves us because God is love. And that's what he does. He loves. He hates sin. But he loves us. And he'll do anything for us so we don't miss out on having a loving relationship with him, including suffering and dying on a cross. That is love. But to admit is so important. When someone first becomes a follower of Jesus, the first thing they do is they confess their sin of rebelling against Jesus. When I became a follower of Jesus, I was in year 10. And I asked Jesus to forgive me for rejecting him in my life. And I asked him to help me to live a life where I could learn daily not to reject Jesus. If you listen to non-Christians, they use the word Jesus more than Christians, because they want people to know that they are rejecting Jesus. And they are living out what they believe in. Christians need to live out what we believe in. We listen to what God says. We do what God says. And we admit where we are before God. We confess our sins before Him and ask His forgiveness. Actually, it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So every day we don't have to feel guilty. You see, it's really hard being an atheist. Because when they're really feeling guilty, who do they pray to? Big Bang, who created the universe? Can you forgive my sins? Evolution, that can do the miraculous. Can you forgive my sins? Nothing, who created the universe out of nothing. Can you forgive my sins? No. Only Jesus. Going deeper with Jesus, last point, means that we give our lives to follow Him. We looked at that song about which direction you're going. We need to be going in a direction, and that will be the direction that we really believe is right. We can say whatever we want. I can say I'm really tall and incredibly good looking, but we all know I'm not incredibly tall. Anyway, moving on. The response of Peter when Jesus challenged him to say, look, from now on, I want you to be my fisherman. I want you to go where I tell you to go. And I want you to put your net out, which is the gospel. And in my name, with my help, I want you to catch people to believe in who I am. At that, Peter could have said, that's too much. I'm going back to fishing. But the miracle at the end is greater than all the fish. And we always miss it. What did they leave in order to follow Jesus? Everything. And we miss that because we're all thinking about the fish. See how great the catch of fish was. But people are thinking about how great Jesus is. And how He's worth more than His ultimate dream of catching all the fish. He was now hooked on Jesus. And because of Him, He did become the rock for Jesus. The world teaches us to live for yourselves. And it sounds a great gospel. Be incredibly selfish. Never admit that you do anything wrong. Just live for yourself. Do you know what? You cannot, and I could prove this. If you find a selfish person, I can tell you one thing about them I know already. They are not happy. You cannot be selfish, living for yourself, and be happy. Just can't. The happiest people on the planet are the ones that live for others, that serve others. Because that's the way God designed us to be. But the world says, no, everyone has to serve you. You have to have everything now and everything your way and be content. So if you're suffering or you're going through hard times, your God doesn't love you. That's a lie. Jesus went through more suffering than what any of us will ever go through. Luke chapter 9 verse 23 says, then He said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple, that means follower, must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. If we are followers of Jesus, we must listen to His word. We must obey what His word teaches us, be real about who we are before Him, and give our lives in His service. Everyone here who claims to be a follower of Jesus, we are Jesus' witnesses. We must be sharing the gospel with those around us, whoever that may be. And the first way to show it is by our lives. When I'm at Warhope High School, I don't have to tell people, hey, by the way, I follow Jesus. They know. And if I don't follow Jesus, my good friend who used to be a principal last year, I was joking one morning in the office before school started, and I was stirring the lady who looks after casual teachers, and we get on really well. And I just had a little joke with her. And the principal said, and I was there as a casual, not as a scripture teacher. And the principal said to me, he's an atheist, Mr. Abbott, that's not very Christian of you. And I thought, you're right, I can't log off. I can't say, today I'm working for the Department of Education. Every day I work for Jesus. Every day I'm one of his fishermen. Every day. Jesus calls us to be his fisher of people. Where do fish hang out in? What do you call a group of fish? Yeah, so he hangs out in schools. Okay, that's where fish hangs out. And so in the local school, please don't forget about it. I am your missionary. When I'm in the school, someone says, does the Baptist church even care about us? Yes. How do we know? They sent me. I represent the Christians in Warhope. Everyone who wants people to know about Jesus. And I go in the school. Thank you for your support. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story today that is one that we've known so well, but then maybe we haven't gone deeper with it. We forget that it's not just a story about fish. It's a story about transformation of a person's life. And Lord, help our lives be transformed as well, and help us to be instrumental in being used to help other people see what it's like to follow Jesus. And we praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last song today.